Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench. Outdoor America is brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Now, here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
It is starting to cool off. You know, the temperatures, I've been saying this, and we kind of go back and forth on is it cold? Is it hot? Is it warm? Is it spring? Is it fall? Is it, what the heck is going on in the Ozarks here? That seems to be, if you lived in the Ozarks very long, you know that this is just the norm. I mean, it's going to happen. You think that winter's about here, and then it's like, psych, no, we're going back to summer for a week, and vice versa. You know, get some rain. Are we going to get some rain? Nope, not going to get some rain. Oh, yeah, it's going to pour on you. Not unexpected. You just never know. So anyway, the water's getting cooled off a little bit. And then it warmed back up. So these fish are just really, really right in limbo. They don't know what in the world to do because they started to move to their winter holes, and then they kind of stopped, and they just don't really know what to do. We'll talk about that a little bit more and what to do and how to catch these fish during this transition period, because a lot of folks will say the transitional period is probably one of the toughest times to catch these fish. And I agree. It can be very, very frustrating and tough to catch them, especially whenever you don't know any specifics to target. You know where they was, and you might know where they're going, but the question is, where are they now? Where are they in between? Because sometimes they'll stop and stage in certain areas. And I'll tell you the clues on what to look for. And this is the things that I look for and what has told me that they're obviously not there anymore. A couple weeks ago, I would fish my normal stuff, you know, of course, that I always fish. And as we had this cold front move in, the water started dropping. It got down into the upper 50s, which doesn't seem that cold. That's kind of prime time for top water, and some of the best fishing you could do is about that time. But for whatever reason, these fish seem to have that feeling they needed to get to move into their winter holes because their water was dropping, water temperature was dropping very, very quickly. So they were trying to hurry and get to where they needed to be. And then obviously we had a warming trend come back, and it just kind of put them at a halt. So it's kind of hard to know what to do, but I do know the normal stuff that I was fishing, they went away. I wasn't catching them. I wasn't seeing them. I knew they were on the move. So now I'm trying to look for them and locate them. And that's what the difficult part comes in, because now instead of knowing I fish here, 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 and here, you're just fishing almost everything, just trying to figure out something where they might be. And we're just catching such odd places with odd lures and odd baits. But the one thing that told me that they were on the move is when I catch a fish, it seems like there was a bunch of them with it. There's two or three other fish right there with them. That's telling me they're packing up and they're moving together. When I say packing up, I don't mean like packing their bags. I mean they're getting in packs where there's multiple fish running together. And smallmouth bass are not a schooling fish. So typically they're not like a crappie or a white bass or any of them fish that all run together in packs. And so whenever you see them bunched up like that, you know there's a reason for it. Depending on what time of the year, depends on why they're packed up. But this time of year, it's obviously they're ready to move to the winter haunts. You know, we've got just a couple days ago, it was 83 degrees, you know, really, really warm. And then just right around the corner after the weekend, we're supposed to have temperatures dropping down in the 20s for lows and highs in the 40s. So it's, you know, that water temperature is going to drop fast. And they're going to be on the move back to back where they was doing, moving to the winter holes. So the question is, how are you going to catch these fish? Every day I get in the boat with some new people, some different clients anyway. And the question is, so how are we going to catch them today? And, you know, I can't answer that. I can't answer that question. Even as much as time as I spend on the water every single day, I don't know exactly the right answer to give you or to give anybody on what we're going to use to catch some fish that day. I can speculate and guess and say, well, I think this has been the pattern. So we're going to start with this pattern that's been trending here lately. That don't always work. There's sometimes I'll start with what has been working, and by the end of the day, I'm completely changed gears to a totally different tactic. You know, for example, I'd been throwing a fluke and a swim bait. Those were the two tactics that had been working very well pretty much all late summer or in the early fall, if we're actually in the fall yet. I don't think we technically are. But so late summer, I guess, September and October. Obviously, we're right here at the tail end of October now, approaching November. But that changed. Then they didn't want to have nothing to do with that. I was catching them on top water. Well, now there's so many leaves on the water that I can't hardly throw anything. It's so hard to get anything through that big old mat of leaves. And I'll talk about that. Some ways to fish around or fish through, better yet, those leaf mats. Because that's the problem you have this time of year. Can't run a jet boat. You're sucking leaves nonstop. Fortunately, the water's so stinking low around here, I have to hop in the John boat anyway. So I don't have the frustration of trying to clean the leaves out of my jet pump all the time. Although I know that's coming. Hopefully the leaves are done by that point. I'll talk about what I do to try to fish through those leaves effectively, because it's tough. You know, everyone wants to throw a buzzbait right now. It's fun. It's a fun way to catch fish. Want some kind of topwater of any sort, you know, depending on what you like. And that's something else I want to touch on. I am so big on fishing with confidence. So every time a client gets in my boat, I try to ask and find out what they like to throw. You know, some guys are big Ned rig guys, and I'm not. I don't throw a Ned rig at all, but they catch fish. And if that's what they like to throw, then that's why I think we can use to catch fish. Some guys like throwing Senkos. Some guys like throwing shaky heads. Some guys like throwing crankbaits. Some guys are girls or women or people or anglers. They like throwing topwater or whatever. There's some baits that I can't just say, okay, that's the way we're going to catch them, because they don't always cooperate with the topwater. As much as we'd all like for that to work out, it just don't seem to work that way. So I try to find the strengths in people, what their confidence baits are, because I truly do believe you could catch these fish. We could catch these fish multiple different ways. And I've proven it time and time again by experimenting with things. And I'll let other guys throw what's working, and I'll throw things that we haven't tried or that I don't know that work or not. And typically I can get them to bite. It's more so, I think, being around the fish and knowing how to present your bait in the proper way. As long as you can make it presentable as far as looking realistic or look appealing to them, that's going to be the key to it. And like I said, I'm going to touch on that a little bit too, because so often my son Preston, he bless his heart, he just seems to think that there's just this magical bait that, you know, for example, the other day I was pitching a jig. And he said, I want a jig. He just he told his mom, Tommy's just catching these fish every cast on this thing. And he, what he does not understand is it's not like that's some kind of magical bait that you just tie this on and the fish is going to swim up and eat that thing every time it hits the water. That's not the case at all. And, he, you know, he's learning. He's learning that there's a technique behind it. I'm putting it in the right place, in the right position, on the right side of that root wad or whatever it is. I'm very accurate with my cast. That's the reason why I'm getting bit. And I'm also able to tell the difference between a bite or a limb or a bite and a rock or whatever it is. And so I'm not setting the hook in things that are going to get me hung up and kind of blow out that area. That's another thing that we'll touch on. We'll touch on that on you know, ruining a fishing hole. The one biggest key I think I want to point out, especially this time of year, water's low, water's clear. You've got to. I cannot stress this enough. You have to throw long cast in front of the boat. Try, do your very best to stay moving forward. Don't look back. Don't live in the past, like I like to say. Don't be trying to throw back behind the boat. You're done with that. If you're not done with it, then just stay behind it and fish forward. That's what you do. You just keep the boat back and you fish forward to that spot that you want to fish. Once you move on past it, you move on past and you keep casting forward. That's the goal. That's kind of the rule of my boat, and it helps things drastically if you can do that. What we're going to get into, let's get into a couple baits that I like to use. First of all, obviously I mentioned the fluke. The fluke is a good bait. Some guys like pink. I like white. They both work. Chartreuse works. All kinds of different. You know, you got the Strike King, the KVD version of it. You got the Zooms version of it. And there's so many different variations. Again, go with what you're confident in. That's the biggest key. Go with what you're confident in. Okay, also, how are you going to rig it? I typically rig it on a 4-aught EWG Gamakatsu is what I rig it on. That's what I've always done for years and years and years. The pro to that, it's got very good action. It doesn't slip on the hook. It lasts a long time. The con to that is the hookup ratio is not always the greatest. There's times big smallmouth will eat that thing, and it'll just have your rod doubled over, and you're thinking, man, this is awesome. I got a giant smallmouth. And you're fighting him, and he's just holding on. And you get, he finally realizes he's losing that battle, and he just lets go. And then you get the fluke back in the boat and look at it, come to realize the hook never even come out of the back of that fluke. Essentially, he never even had a hook in his mouth. It was in his mouth. It just wasn't through. You know, that's why I tell people you've got to set the hook. And even if you do set the hook hard on them things, sometimes them fish are just so strong. They just hold it in their mouths and you're not going to get a hook in them. So that's the negative side of that. You know, there's an alternative. I've been throwing a little Gamakatsu, a little circle hook, a little number two circle hook, number one, number two. The negative part to that is if you may only catch one or two fish and then it just wallers it out and just slides down and it won't stay straight. The action don't work the way it should. The pro to that is usually they hit them head first, and then once they eat it, they'll kind of put the pressure on themselves. You got them pinned, got the fish. As long as you don't break him off, you should be able to land the fish. That's the pros and cons of that bait. I'm going to go through, like I said, all my favorite baits, the pros and cons, when to use them, when not to use them, when they're the best, when they're the worst, or, you know, all that good stuff. I just want to really go in depth of what I use and why I use them, when and where. Stick around, folks. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll get right back with more smallmouth tactics and what I like to use on the Gasconade and the Big Pike. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to Outdoor America, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. More with Tommy Bench after this.
I was talking about all the great fishing tips and fishing lures are what I'm going to suggest and to use, because here's the problem that lies with all many, many thousands of baits you could be throwing, right? You're walking through Bass Pro or through your academy or whatever tackle shop that you prefer to go to, and you're just like overwhelmed with, I don't even know where to start. Okay, I know flukes work, or I know swim baits work, or I know crank baits work, but there's 5,000 different variations of crankbaits. So where do you start? Okay, so keep it simple. The best advice I can give you is keep it simple. I have literally downsized my tackle over the years to where I only throw two different colors of topwater, right? Or one or two different colors of jig trailers. Just keep it simple. I tell people, you know, what kind of jig trailer do you use for clear water, dirty water, you know, stained water, high water, low water, you know, around in lakes, rivers. I do the same thing. I throw green pumpkin. I tell people, I joke around, I say, you know what? Any color will work as long as it's green pumpkin. Because that's what I believe in. There's some variations, you know, I'll church it up a little bit what's his name likes to say? Joe Dirt, that's who it was. Make it fancy a little bit and throw a little blue hue in there. There's some nice little green pumpkins, color it, you know, different variations. You know, Zoom has their green pumpkin, Strike King has their green pumpkin. I like Strike King's a little bit better, the little darker green color. That's my preference, but I use them both and I catch fish with them both. So honestly, just go with what you're confident in. You know, crankbaits, same thing. I like throwing crankbaits, but I try to keep it simple. I don't go with, you know, 40 different colors. I like chartreuse black back. It's because I've caught fish with it. It's my confidence bait. Brown and orange, I've caught fish with it. It's my confidence bait. That's pretty much all I stick to. There's a few other variations that I'll throw in there in a mix of things if I just want to get a little fancy with it, but that's about it. My topwaters, it's pretty simple. If I'm going to throw a topwater, there's only three colors, or usually two colors essentially, a light color and a dark color, a black of some sort, and a white or chartreuse of some sort. That's it. Keep it simple. I don't try to make it too complicated, and I think the more complicated people make things, the harder it is, the more stressful it is on them. They're overthinking things, overthinking, why is this fish not eating it because of this, because of that? Is it the action? You know, sometimes I think it matters. But I think what people do more than anything that I'm going to tell you not to do is don't try to live off the past. You know, like I said, don't live in the past by throwing behind the boat. Don't live in the past on your fishing day today by what you caught fish on yesterday or a week ago or a month ago or even a year ago. Oh, we caught fish here before. I remember this one time we caught fish. Don't do that. You know, that may be a good place to start, but too often I see people that go fishing and they don't do very well, and I see them at the ramp or on the river or at the dock, whatever it is, and like, yeah, the fish just wasn't biting today, you know? We had we tried everything that didn't always works, and it just didn't work. They just wasn't biting. And I tell them, you know, my famous quote is, you know, I bet they did. You know, I bet they did bite today. I bet you ate something today. Or I bet you're going to eat something today, aren't you? Well, of course I am. Well, and they are too. They're going to eat today just like you and I are going to eat today. You just got to figure out what they want and listen to what they're telling you. And that's what I'm getting at is too often I'm pitching a jig and I'm not getting bit. And I'm reeling it back in real quick to try to thinking about my next pitch, you know, my next pitch, and that fish will come up and wham, hit that thing as I'm reeling in real fast, and then they just go on about pitching their jig in the cover again. They're not thinking about, well, maybe that fish wanted to see that thing moving, give it a little bit more action. They're wanting to chase. They're wanting to chase right now, and that's important. That's important. Now you're listening to what the fish is telling you to do. Hey, we want this thing chasing. It's no different than going to a restaurant. And the server asks what you want. You tell them what you want. That's the only way they're going to know what to give you. The same thing with those fish. Those fish are telling you what they want by the reactions that they're giving you. So, you know, getting back to the fluke. I love throwing a fluke. But it's not a magic bait. It's not a magic bait you just cast out there and the fish are going to come swimming in, flying in, and eating that thing right at the gate. It's just not going to happen that way most of the time. I'm not saying never, because, I mean, you catch them at the right time, make the right cast, and, yeah, that will happen. But I see guys a lot working this fluke, and that's probably my biggest challenge is it's something you've got to work. You've really got to work this fluke. It's not a bait you just cast out there and reel in. You know, you're letting it sink. You're twitching that thing around. You want it to work it like a jerk bait. So if you've ever worked a jerk bait or a stick bait, like the old timers say, then, you know, twitch that thing around. You want some erratic action. That thing's going to move a foot and a half, a foot to 2 foot each direction on each twitch. Slack line, Very, very, very important. Slack line, give it swift twitches. Twitch. Not a pull, it's a twitch. You get that thing, bam, bam, you know, left, right, and then pause, 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 twitch, pause. Pause, pause, twitch, twitch, pause. That's what's going to trigger them, especially if you got a fish that's coming up nosing it. Make that thing move even quicker. The worst thing that will happen is they won't go after it. But if you let them lose interest in it, because you are gaining their interest at some point, and it's probably because you're moving it. Now, if you stop it, sometimes they will eat it, yes. But a lot of times whenever you stop it and kill it like that, they just lose interest, especially smallmouth. Now, largemouth or other fish, they may think, oh, it's an easy meal. But these smallmouth are like cats. They really like to play with their food. They really like the challenge of being able to hunt that thing down. And if they think that it thinks it can get away, that's even more reason why it's not going to allow it to happen. So keep that in mind when you're working a bait. Too often, like I said, I see clients that are working a bait, and they'll see a fish nose up to it or do something. Like, what do I do? What do I do? Well, don't stop. Whatever you do, do not stop. Either work it faster. I mean, what do you think that bait that fish thinks it's about to eat? We'll say that fluke, for example. What do you think they think it is? Probably another smaller fish, right? A bait fish of some sort. Well, if that fish seen a 20-inch smallmouth swim up to it or an 18 or any fish much larger than itself, it's not just going to sit there. You know, it's not just going to play dead. It's probably going to want to get the heck out of there and swim away. So, you know, really twitch that thing around, give it some erratic action, and worst that'll happen is he won't go after it. So, you know, at least, you know, but that's something that I think you definitely will have a lot more success with trying. So again, what are your strengths? Not all people like to throw flukes. Kayla hates throwing a fluke. She only throws it because it catches fish. Here's one thing, one of my favorite go-tos I love to throw. It's simple. You can throw it whether you're a kid, an adult, any age from top to bottom can throw this bait. It's very simple, single hook tactic. It is a Strike King Rage Swimmer. I love the Strike King Rage Swimmer in the 3.75 range. I think it's like Pro Blue, Red Pearl, or something like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful color. It's my go-to. Put it on the lightest swim bait jig head you can get. I really like the Apex Deaver swim bait heads. Those things are really awesome. They hold the bait in. The hooks are light wire hooks to where I can bend the hooks if I get hung up, straighten them back out, keep on fishing. I love a light wire hook. I don't know. There's some of these lake guys really love these big beefy hooks. I've never had a fish straighten my hook like the old saying was, oh, I heard that fish straighten my hook. Well, then you didn't have your drag setting right. That must have been a giant fish. You know, it must have been 100-pounder or something. I just never have, and I caught a lot of big fish. But neither here nor there, I just like the light wire. It penetrates better. You can get them, straighten them out if you have to, and bend them back and keep on going. So there's so many ways we can catch these fish. I'm going to keep on trying to dive in to the different baits, you know, whether it's crankbaits, the styles, and all this different stuff. So just stick around, folks, and I've got more, lots more to talk about smallmouth fishing. We're going to talk a little deer hunting, too, I think, when we come right back right here on Outdoor America. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
Back again. All these smallmouth tactics that I'm talking about, like you said, it can get very overwhelming with all the different ways to fish. You know, how do you fish? Do you have 6-8 rods in the boat? Why do you need so many rods? What about just throwing one or two baits? That's the problem. That's what I say. I always say you got to learn what they want that day, because it changes from day to day, definitely from day to day, but sometimes hour by hour on what they want. I've seen it multiple times where I'm fishing and the fish are biting on a particular bait, and it's like they just slow down. They just like stop, or they're not biting on a particular bait, but then all of a sudden it picks up. You know, it picks up certain times of the day. They're feeding better certain times of the day. They like certain presentations, I like certain colors. I don't know what it is, but you just learn from what they're trying to tell you by what they're doing. If you're getting bit on something, it's not a fluke deal. If they're trying to tell you, hey, we like this presentation or whatever it is. So again, I've got all these tackle boxes sitting in front of me, and I'm thinking, you know, where do I start? What am I going to start with? My best suggestion is start with what has been working for you. If you got a particular bait that's been working pretty good, I would start with that, you know, and if you have no idea where to start, just start with what you're most confident in. You know, you like throwing a swim bait, like we were talking about, the good old Rage Swimmer. throw that rain swimmer. That's a good bait to throw. You just cast it out there and just a steady retrieve. You can let it flutter down. You can pop it a couple times. It's so versatile. It's unbelievable. It's kind of like a swim jig or a jig in general. You know, you can swim it. You can drag it. You can pitch it. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. You can use it as a topwater almost. But that's another thing. You're getting into topwaters. You know, where do you start? There's so many topwater variations. You know, you got buzz baits, you got spooks, you know, you got whopper ploppers and whisker do's and whisker don'ts. You just don't, you know, you got everything. How do you know which one to throw? Throw the one you like the best. Throw the one that makes the most sense for that particular water. I was just talking about in our first segment, all the leaves. Right now, dead of fall, there's so many leaves on the river right now. It's literally a mat of leaves. It's so hard to fish it, especially a guy that just wants to throw topwater all day and they love throwing a whopper plopper. How are you gonna do that? Pretty tough. It's tough to do. So that's when I recommend going to a different bait that's not going to grab them leaves off the top. Go to maybe like a little pad crusher frog or something. Not my favorite bait to throw, but it's one way to get your topwater, you know, going without sacrificing a cast, you know, or every cast, because just all you can do is grab leaves with that plopper or the buzz bait or whatever it is. You know, a couple days ago, for example, my client was throwing a popar. He's an old school guy, loves throwing old school baits. The popar was just working. You know, did he catch a ton of fish with that thing? Nope, he didn't. He didn't catch a ton of fish. He probably caught a half a dozen or so, but the ones he caught were the right ones. I mean, he caught some really good fish. It was a fun day. You know, when for whatever reason, the goggle eye were just on fire too. We started the trip and I was just pitching a jig around some lay down logs because I love throwing a jig. I've kind of gotten away from it over the last few years, fishing all this other power fishing styles, you know, by throwing big swim baits and crank baits and spinner baits and topwaters and just moving and casting and really fast, just working really fast. And I got to where I'm like, you know what? I really like pitching a jig around some logs, so I'm going to start doing that a little bit more. And I started doing that, and it was, you know, there's a bite, set the hook, nice goggle eye. Nope, there's another one, set the hook, nice goggle eye. Holy smokes, I caught 9 goggle eye in one little area. 80-yard stretch or less, you know, just around a bunch of cover. And I thought, man, this is like it was growing up. The goggle eye fishing has not been that good ever since we started getting these massive floods. And I was loving it. It was awesome because I just hadn't seen the goggle eye that aggressive and that abundant in so long. It was like I was living in the past, you know, as far as the way that the goggle eye are biting. So it was a lot of fun. And I hope that wasn't just a fluke deal. I'm going to go back tomorrow, actually this afternoon, and try to catch them out of that same area. I didn't keep one. I let every single one of them go. And I really want to see them come back. And I thought this to myself. The selfish side of me wanted to keep those goggle eye. I bring them home, clean them, fillet them up, and eat them. Kayla loves them. That's her absolute favorite fish. But I thought to myself, you know, If I want to preserve the same fishing that I used to experience, where we could go out, me and a buddy or me and Kayla could go out and catch our limited goggle eye at will almost any given day in the spring, summer, fall. It didn't matter. I could go out there and catch our limit of goggle eye almost any time we wanted. You know, several years ago, you can't do that anymore. So I thought to myself, if I want Corbell to be able to experience that, you know, one of these days, I've got to let these fish go, let them replenish and come make a comeback. And I think they're starting to make a comeback. I mean, yesterday showed me that they've definitely got the potential to do that. So very encouraging, very encouraging. So anyway, like I've said so many times, anytime you want to get a hold of me, or even pick my brain, or if you got a question or a topic you want me to talk about on the radio, feel free to shoot me a text or a message on my Gasconade River Guide page, or text me. Here's my number, 417-718-7716. Just let me know who you are. Hey, this is so-and-so from wherever you're at. I follow you, or I don't, or I listen to a show. It don't matter. Man, I love to talk about what you guys want to hear about. So let me know if there's something in particular you want to talk about. You know, jig trailers. Here's a prime example. Okay, we talked about colors, but what about styles? There's so many styles of jig trailers. I know it can get very overwhelming for anglers that don't get to fish every day or even every weekend. You don't even know where to start because there's so many jig trailers. I bet there's 500 different variations of jig trailers. Not colors. I'm just talking about styles. Then you got all the different colors to deal with as well. I just try to keep it simple. I like a small, compact trailer. Matter of fact, if I go with a bigger, longer trailer, I always cut it down. I always cut it down to fit on my jig, real small and compact. That's what I go with. I told you, I like the Strike King Riverbug. That's my favorite all-time trailer. I also like the Zoom Speed Craws. Those things, they just catch fish. You know, they're not a sponsor of mine at all. I have no affiliation with Zoom in any way, shape, or form, but I still use their products because I like to catch fish. I like to be successful. So I use whatever works for me, and that's what works for me. Again, you know, you got so many things you could throw. You know, you got topwaters, you got crankbaits, you got shallow crankbaits, deep crankbaits. You know, we could go on and on. Swim baits, big swim baits, small swim baits. I got a whole box of mega bass, you know, mag drafts and sleeper gills and all these dark sleepers. And, you know, I use them all. I love them. But there's a time and a place for them, and that's why I switch a lot. Jerkbaits, you know, here it's about that time. Water's cooling off. I'm going to throw a jerkbait a lot this winter. I always do. That's just one thing I like doing, is throwing a jerkbait, and a fluke is a jerkbait. It's just a soft jerkbait. But now I'm talking about, you know, your Vision 110s, those hard jerkbaits you cast out there, run them down and twitch them around, let them suspend right there where you want them. That's another way. So many ways to do it. Again, do what you're confident in. Throw what you're confident in. The best advice I can give you, and I say it all the time, get you something for all sections of the water column. Get you a bait for the top, something for the bottom, and something right in the middle. Get your favorite top water, your favorite bottom bait, and your favorite suspending bait, or something you can cast right in the middle, like a swim bait maybe, a Strike King Rage Swimmer, for example, and you'll be just fine. Now you're covering every spectrum of the water column. You should be fine. You're going to catch fish. I can almost guarantee it. Folks, stick around. I got a lot more to talk about, a lot more baits to touch on, and some tactics, what these fish are going to do, where they're going for the winter. Stick around. I'll tell you all about it when we come right back, right after this on Outdoor America.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. Here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
Another great segment of Outdoor America here, as I like to say. Not trying to church it up, as Joe Dirt would like to say. But we got lots of baits to talk about. You know, which ones, how to simplify them, and all the good stuff, right? I was talking about, you know, you can get overwhelmed with how many crankbaits, how many styles, how many colors. This is what I do. I've got my shallow divers, and this is a rule of thumb. This is not all I have. I own a lot of tackle, way more than I should. I'll admit that. My shallow divers pretty much consist of KVD 1.5 square bills, right? Brown and orange and craw patterns. They're almost all craw patterns. And then I got a whole box of Rebel Craws. Rebel Craws are a classic staple for Ozark smallmouth. They just catch fish. Okay. I also have some Bandit. I think they're Bandit 300s. I think they're Bandit 300s. They go in that 6 to 8 foot range. Brown and orange. That is it. That is all the Bandits they own right there. Then, so like I said, we're going from the shallow, and now we're kind of moving up to the deeper stuff. That's the Bandit 300s, a little bit deeper. And then I throw rock crawlers, probably my number one crawfish pattern, red craw, any kind of red, greens and browns, craw patterns. And then I got some wiggle warts, which you will not be able to buy at the store. My good buddy Brian Heron painted them for me, and they are magical. I treat them like I do Corbel. I really protect them and don't let anything happen to them at all, because they're just that special, and I just can't go to the store and replenish this box. So that's pretty much it. That's all my crankbaits right there, as far as what, you know, the staples of what I use. So I try to keep it simple. Like I said, I will throw some other stuff once in a while, just experimenting, but that's pretty much it. Okay, jigs, I use the Tackle Max jig head, you know, the brand new Tackle Max jig head that come out. I love it. It's pretty much impossible to get hung up for the most part. It's got great action. It pitches great. It comes over rocks phenomenal. And then I pair that up with a Strike King River Bug or a Zoom Super Fluke Speed Craw. I like the speed crawl, and then I also once in a while use some net bait pocket crawls, but they just don't last for me. Like I said, I try to tell the truth and what I use and how I catch fish, and I do like them pocket crawls. They just don't last. I just seem to stick with the Strike King, the rage bugs. Basically, you got the rage bugs. I forgot to mention those. Those are probably my favorite. They got a lot of action. There's just a rage chunk, is I think what they're called. Again, green pumpkin with a little blue hue in it. It's an amazing color. It works really, really well. And if not that, then I'll go to the Zoom speed crawl. That's it. That's all it is. Green pumpkin. That is it. Okay. Swim baits. Very simple. I use the Strike King Rage Swimmers. 100% through and through. I like the IU color, and I like the Pro Blue Red Pearl. Those are my two main colors. That's it. That is it. I don't have 16 different colored swim baits. I just stick with those two. That is it. Topwater. Here we go. Let's go with some topwater stuff. I throw a buzz bait and I throw a plopper. That's it. I throw a whopper plopper or a Berkeley Chopo, and I throw my custom buzz baits that I make. That is about all I throw. I've got some chug bugs and some other stuff in there, but it's just not my thing. I'm too impatient. I like to chuck and wind. I just like to be precise with my casting. Again, being precise with your casting is going to get you bit way more than anything else. Be precise. Swim baits, again, we were talking about the Strike King Rage Swimmers. I also do like the Mega Bass Mag Drafts, and I do like the Sleepy Eels and the Dark Sleepers, but they have their place. I do not use them on a day-to-day basis. Those are something I'll just throw once in a while, you know, right after the spawn, right in the middle of the spawn. Those are all work really good, it seems like, at that time. I think I can do all right with the Mag Drafts in the wintertime, but I haven't really explored that a whole lot. Wintertime stuff, you know, we talked about, what are they doing? The water's about to cool off. Right now, we're looking at about 63-degree water temps right now, 63, 64. That's it. It's going to start dropping, though. It's going to start dropping. We're going to have a big cold front move in, and I'd say the cold is going to set in for good this time, at least for the most part. And once that happens, then the water starts to drop. The fish start moving to the winter holes, and then it is game on, whole son. As I like to say, it is game on. And the fish are stacked up in these winter holes, and it's time to go there and pick them apart and catch them. You can catch them with jigs. You can catch them with head rigs. You can catch them with crankbaits. You can catch them with swim baits. You can catch them with jerkbaits, all kinds of stuff. And I just throw what I like, you know, and I like throwing jigs. I like throwing jerkbaits, and I like throwing crankbaits, so that's what I throw. But you could probably catch them on 100 different baits, and that's the truth. So it's just do what you're confident in. Do what your strengths are. Do what you want to do. I literally have clients. I had a guy, two gentlemen that I took a couple weeks ago. The one gentleman caught a very, very, very big smallmouth. One of the biggest ones this year, almost 22 inches. It was 22, actually. He's got a little cut in his tail. Same one Kayla caught over last winter. The guy in the front did not want to throw a slower bait. He said, I just don't want to. I said, even after your buddy just caught that giant fish, that's not enough to convince you to throw it. He said, I just don't like to slow down. I'd rather just throw something that I can cast and retrieve. That's it. And if I don't catch a big one, then so be it. I'm like, okay, all right, well, fair enough. So that's what I do. I just rig him up with something that I think he can still catch fish with, but it keeps him engaged. It keeps him at least attentive and not getting bored with trying to throw a fluke and twitch it around and work this thing real slow like you need to in order to get him to bite. You know, you got to get that triggering mechanism by doing that erratic action. I mean, it's just the bottom line. That's the hardest thing about a fluke for me and new clients, or just clients in general that don't know how to use them the way I like to use them. I'm not saying that this is the right way. This is the way I like to use them, and this is what works for me. As the more erratic, the better. As soon as it hits the water, I'm twitch, twitch, twitch. You know, I'm wanting that thing to move. And then let it sink for a little bit, twitch, twitch, and just so on and so forth. You just change it up. You switch it up. No different than whenever I work a Mega Bass Vision 110. You know, I'm not just going to keep the same cadence of a twitch, twitch, pause, twitch, twitch, pause, twitch, twitch, pause. You know, I change it up. I twitch, pause, pause, twitch, twitch, pause, 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 twitch, pause, twitch, you know what I mean? Just really, really change it up, and that's what will trigger a bite. In my opinion, I think I've seen more success on very, very erratic action on those particular kinds of baits. Same thing with a crankbait. I don't just cast a crankbait out there and just reel it right back in with steady retrieve. I usually tell my clients to reel it back with steady retrieve because I don't want to complicate things too much by saying, okay, now twitch it a couple times as you're reeling that steady retrieve. You know, give it that erratic action, kind of like whenever you bump something, you know, give it that pause. You bump something, pause it just for a second and let that thing just sit there. That'll trigger a strike a lot of times too. Another thing, which actually I'll make this the tip of the week, so I won't tell you this tip just yet. But another thing to do is same thing with that, like I said, that crankbait as you're reeling, even if not hitting something, just kind of give it a real fast jerk, you know, and then keep retrieving it, jerk, and then just keep retrieving it, jerk, and then it's just kind of like that thing takes off real fast, like it's making surges to try to get away from whatever it is. That'll trigger a strike a lot of times too. So keep that in mind. Do something a little bit different. Don't be afraid to throw in heavy cover. Too often I hear people say, man, that looks good, but I don't want to get hung up. Well, that's an even more reason to throw over there. Just try to utilize the bait you have to be able to get out of it more effectively. That's my best advice for that. Folks, we got one more segment to talk about these baits and all the best ways to catch these fish as this water cools. Stick around, and I'm going to tell you all about it when we come right back right after this.
This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. More with Tommy Bench after this. This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Summit Finance Group. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
Back for our last segment of the show, folks. Like I said, don't be afraid to get a hold of me. You know, my number's out there, 417-718-7716. Want to go on a guide trip? Want to go catch some smallmouth? Wintertime is the best. I'm telling you, if you want to go catch the biggest smallmouth of your life, it's about the time to make it happen. Whenever they get grouped up in their winter holes, it is game on, like I like to say. So good stuff. Wait for a mild day. We'll get you going. Get a hold of us. Call my number. Text me. Message me. Go to Gascony River Guide Service. Facebook page or social, any kind of social media, Tommy Bench, go check it out. We've got some big things coming up. Kayla's working on a lot of cool things for the guide business. We're going to come up with these patches. You know, everyone knows that I talk about going dinosaur hunting. And so we decided to come up with a cool little thing for our clients. If you're a client of mine and you catch a 20-inch fish, we're going to give you a patch for the guide service for going with us and catching a true Ozark smallmouth dinosaur with us. So that's a pretty neat deal, exclusively only here with me. So that's why I pride myself on trying to put people on the biggest smallmouth I possibly can, the biggest of their life, and I've done it quite often. Very, very proud of that accomplishment and want to keep that going. So get a hold of me if you want to go, and we'll get out there and get you a true Ozark dinosaur. But getting on with all the baits that I was talking about, it's cooling off. These fish are beyond popular belief. A lot of people will say, or some guys will say, that they don't feed up for the winter. Some guys say they do. All I know is what I see out there on a day-to-day basis. I'm out there every single day, and it seems like the fish are on the move. And when they're on the move, they're getting ready for winter. It seems like they just get more active, and especially the bigger fish. I'm not saying that you're going to catch 100 fish a day, because that's not what I do. That's not what I even advertise to do. I advertise and I pride myself on catching big fish, quality over quantity, all day long. If you're looking for quality or quantity, then it's probably not in my boat, just to be honest with you, because we'll catch sometimes 50, 60 fish a day, especially in the wintertime, but the fish are big too. So that's just phenomenal days in general. Typically 25 to 40 fish a day is what we catch. And I think that's a good day. That's a really good day of fishing with a handful of quality fish to boot, seems to be. So anything, like I said, there's so many ways you could catch fish, whether it's top water, you know, and the top water is going to slow down. But right now with that 60-degree temperatures, we're going to touch on that real quick. You know, we're right around that 60-degree mark. Of course, it's going to change over the weekend. It's really gotten cold with this cold front moving in. So if you're going to go out top water fishing, you better do it now, because that's only going to last probably this week, maybe at the longest. And then I think it's going to really slow down. Once that water gets below 50, it's pretty much shut off as far as top water goes. I like that 60-degree range, which is right there where it's at right now. And so get out there while you can. Throw your favorite top water. Follow that up. Don't forget. Don't be afraid to follow that up with a different bait if you get a big blow up and a miss. That's a very, very good way to catch a big fish. If they hit the top and miss, they're looking around thinking they killed that thing. So toss anything in there, whatever you have, you know, close to you. Toss it in there right where that fish come up, and I'd almost guarantee you're probably going to get bit again. So just give that a try. Whether you like jig fishing, bottom bait fishing, swim baits, Ned rigs, there's so many things to throw. Like I said, I just stick to the things that I really like. Kayla loves to own her spinner bait. So even whenever the spinner bait is not the most optimal, you know, the situation to throw a spinner bait, she likes to own it, but she catches fish. She may not catch as many as I am with the little jig, but when she catches one, it's liable to be a good one too. So that's another thing to think about. Jerkbait fishing. You do not have to have a Mega Bass 110, Vision 110 to catch fish. You know, the Smithwick Rogue are just as good as any. Them Strike King jerkbaits are about as good as there is on the market straight out of the box. They're nice. Have awesome paint jobs. Great action. They cast well. Strike King makes so many good products, you know, whether it's from their jigs to their swim baits to their buzz baits, everything. I mean, think about the big names they have with their company. You know, Kevin Van Dam would be one of them. I mean, one of the most recognizable names in the market. So it's just one way to say, you know, and just because they got Kevin Van Dam on there doesn't mean that everything works. But, you know, I can guarantee you if it didn't work, he probably wouldn't want to be a part of it. So with that being said, like I said, you got so many different baits to throw. It's really hard to throw crankbaits. I love cranking. I love it. But right now, the moss is so bad. The water's so low and clear. I just can't really do it. The only time I can throw a crankbait at all is when we get to some really deep water, and that's it. Other than that, if we're in like 4 to 6 foot of water, I just can't do it. It just grabs the moss, big old water moss on the hooks, and no bueno, right? No dice, however you want to say it. But so I kind of put the crankbaits on the back burner, waiting for that to kind of clear up and all that stuff to die off in this cold water, get after it. But getting back to what I was saying in the beginning of this show, these fish are on the move. Don't be afraid to fish things you didn't fish before. Just look for right now for what one reason or another, they are really locked in on submerged wood. Find some laydowns. Find some laydown logs right now. Pitch a jig around them. Throw a fluke over the top of them. Throw a topwater around them. Whatever bait it is you like to throw. Spinner bait, swim bait, I don't care. They are just locked in on this cover for whatever reason. So that's my best suggestion right now. Find you a laydown log and some good amount of water, you know, 4 or 5 foot of water or 3. Just enough water where they got somewhere to hide. Go catch you some fish. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do this afternoon. It's just what you just got to figure them out. They don't always cooperate with what you want them to eat. So you got to figure out what they want to eat, not what you want to try to make them eat. And I found out the hard way sometimes. I get a little hard-headed when it comes to my topwater baits. I get to where I'll throw that thing and throw that thing and throw that thing, and I get people that'll say, "Man, you haven't got a single bite on that thing. You're going to keep throwing it?" Yep, I'm going to keep throwing it. Because I know if it turns around, it's going to be good, or it could be a big fish. Same way with that topwater. A couple days ago, my client caught a couple of dandies. I mean, some really, really big smallmouth, but he didn't get a lot of bites. He just got the right ones, and I think that's what it boils down to, especially this time of year. Whenever the water's starting to cool, a topwater bait can really get you some really big quality bites. So if you're looking for quality, that's my best recommendation. Stick with the top water till that water temperature gets below 55 at least. But they'll still bite until it gets below 50. So give that a shot. Follow that up with a Strike King Rage Swimmer or Fluke or pitch you a jig around some cover. That's what I've been doing to catch my fish. And Like I said, if you want to go in a boat with me, get a hold of me. We'll book you a day, and we'll get out there, and we'll get after some true Ozark smallmouth dinosaurs. But I've got to keep doing what I'm doing, go take some more people fishing. It's prime time deer season. It's prime time smallmouth season. Get out there. Go catch the fish. Get your kids out there. Hope to see you outside and on the water in the woods. I'm Tommy Bench, and we'll see you next time on Outdoor America.
You've been listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Bass Tank, whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank, carry it. And by Summit Finance Group. Join us each Saturday morning at 5 a.m. for Outdoor America with Tommy Bench on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Catch up on Outdoor America programs. Listen on demand at 610sports.com weekend programming channel. For Tommy Bench, this is Mark Miller. Thanks for listening to Outdoor America, and have a great weekend.